One is on independence, one is on dependence, and one is on creativity. So it's been a hot week. I've learned a few ways that you can. Please don't go. Please. Why are we in this? Right? We know about the weather all winter, and it's a long winter. And then there's this incredible period of sunset, and we know. I mean, guys, I had sports days this week, I was three different sports days. It was phenomenal. No one knows this group, it was great, but it was just great weather. When I started out in Kings, I used to look at it and I'd say, you know, this guy, bad kid, this guy, good kid. I just had a simple view of it. So I'd be like, this guy, he was just born bad. He was just meant to be bad, either God, worded that way. And then when I looked at it closely, I saw that it had a lot to do with relationships. And a lot to do with who they actually had around them. And the title of my message this morning is friendship. I'm going to start looking at Rehoboam. So if you can turn to the first passage, 2 Chronicles 11. We're going to start here. Wow, what a service so far. I don't know if I can talk much or add much to the emotion and to the depth that people are sharing this morning. But we'll let the Bible do some talking.
Amen.
2 Chronicles 11. Now, Rehoboam, son of Solomon, okay? I'm going to see how some elements from the Bible. Verse 18, 2 Chronicles 11. Rehoboam married Mahalath, lots of words we're going to struggle over here. There was a daughter of David's son, Jeremoth, and of Abihail, the daughter of Jesse's son, Eliab. She bore him sons, Jerush, Shemariah, and Dama. Then he married Maacah, the daughter of Absalom, who bore him Abijah, Attai, Ziza, and Shelah. Rehoboam loved Maacah, daughter of Absalom, more than all the others, than any of his other wives or concubines. In all, he had 18 wives and 60 concubines, 28 sons and 60 daughters. I struggle with one son. I don't struggle with one wife. Verse 22, Rehoboam appointed Abijah, son of Maacah, to be the chief prince among his brothers in order to make him king. He had been wise and dispersed with some of his sons throughout the districts of Judah and Benjamin to all the fortified cities. He gave them abundant provisions and took many wives for them. Now, while I said independent, I would say, this is my estimation, we can do a little bit of exegesis here, that the sign of having, a huge, horrible, wise concubine is a sign of independence. It's a sign of I would say, a lack of satisfaction, a lack of contentment. Now, a lot of people say, well, he's just following the steps of his father, Solomon, who just went with the wife, hundreds, went with the concubine, hundreds. But I would say it's a sign of someone who's just a little bit detached, a little bit, like I say, not content, not a contentment, not satisfaction. Let's flip back into 2 Chronicles 10, the other passage up here, and just see in this independent character that I'm trying to put across here, carries on. 2 Chronicles chapter 10, I'm reading verse 1. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all the Israelites had gone there to make him king. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard this, he was in Egypt where he fled from King Solomon. He returned from Egypt. So they sent to Jeroboam, and he and all Israel went to Rehoboam and said to him, your father put a heavy yoke on us. From now, lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke you put on us, and we will serve you. Rehoboam answered, come back to me in 3 days. So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father Solomon during his lifetime. How would you advise me to ask these people? They replied, if you will be kind to these people and please them, and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servants. But Rehoboam rejected the advice the elders gave him and consulted the young men whom he had grown up with, and was serving. He asked them, what is your advice? How should we answer these people who say to him, lighten the yoke with father put on us? The young men who had grown up with him replied, tell the people who have said to you, your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make our yoke lighter. Tell them, my little finger is thicker than my father's waist. My father laid on you a heavy yoke. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions. And this was the advice he followed. Now again, we're talking about independence here. We're going to be able to talk about friendship. Here's a guy, you know, consulting people. Here's a guy actually going to meet. He goes to the young people and he says, you know what? What do you think? But even before that, the Bible says in verse 8, he's already rejected the advice he already gave. That was not like, okay, what do you think? What do you think? Let me, I'm really weighing up what's best for these people. What's best in my reign? What should I do here in line with God? He just goes, you know what? Nah. Great. Already. Why? Because I think he's made his mind up. Because we can seek advice and we can go to friends already with an independent mindset. Just confirm why I'm not here. Just, I'm going to come to you, but yes, oh, you got one. That's what I want. I'll have that piece of advice. Great friend, and I thank you for the draw along those lines. And then, you know, I have been left independently. For me, I can be an independent man. I don't delegate well. I don't. I love to have all the knowledge. I like to have it there, and there, and there, and there, and there. And if I delegate, I feel like it's over there, and I can't touch. Now, Marvin Yeager works in the team ministry, myself and Joe, my wife, are in the team, and Marvin Yeager are there all the time. And Marvin regularly brings this up with me. Regularly. Marvin, don't take it all on. Are you okay with that? You know, because you're doing quite a lot this week. Marvin, you know, and I'm like, you know, it's like this. Marvin, you do that. You take that. It's fantastic that he'd bring this up with me. But for me, this can be my spirit. Do things on my own, struggling on. Gonna grind it out. Yeah. I'm tired, but it's the right thing. You know, I'm here a bit military about it. You know? Sexy. You know, it's independent spirit. I tell you what happened. Now I'm a baby. Yeah. You know, I don't do this, man. You cannot do that anymore. Because you've got a son to look after, and that's a huge responsibility, and it's a wonderful responsibility. But, you know, God is independent. What's interesting, just flip over to 2 Chronicles 12. Because my point is about friendship, and that Rehoboam really acted on his own in his reign. Acted on his own. This was a semblance of getting friends, it was a semblance of, yeah, what do you think, guys? I'm glad that I brought the people up here. But there's not really a heart to it there. In 2 Chronicles 12, verse 14, it says, he did evil. This is later on, he can't start messing up royally. He did evil because he had not set his heart on seeking the Lord. So he's not only independent of friends, but he's independent of God. Which we, you know, just out there, on his own, trying to do these things. What company are you keeping? You know, what is your circle of friends like? What is your advice to you about this? Oh yeah, I'm going to come and speak to you about something, you know. But actually I'm not really real about how I'm feeling. And actually I've already made my mind up, because that's what I do, because I'm control freak and I work independently. We had a great team discussion on this last month. I want to say, how are your friendships? You know, how deep are they? How real are they? You know, because if you don't have friendships in our team ministry that are strong and that are spiritual, hey, your friends at school who may not be, or you know, outside, you're just, who knows? They're going to be strong, and that's what's going to dictate how you lead your life. And we've been talking about being deep, real, people make decisions, phone numbers are exchanged. You know, we're working on it. Are your friendships real? Or are you still acting independently, getting the way you want, like Rare Brown? And also, what kind of friend are you being? What kind of friend are you being? You know, if you're like, oh, come to me, no one phones me, you know, not very giving, no, secret friends, no, you know, are we being negative? Is it gossip drama? You know, people telling us things in confidence, and then, hey, what's going on over here? You know, are we dealing with being a great friend to people? You know, Rare Bones friends, you know, I don't know what they're thinking about this, because they were like, oh, great, one of us, let's tell the king to just smite these people. You know, let's tell this cool line about the finger in the way. What a great little story. And not great friends there. You know, are those closest to you helping you to follow God? Whose word do you respect the most? You know, maybe someone's been following you, inviting you to church. Maybe you've been coming like someone just saying, hey, or bringing something up, hey, maybe come to church, turn the Bible. You know, where is that priority in your list of words that you hear in the week? You know, which people, you know, if someone says anything else, is your boss saying this is much higher priority to what someone's saying about spiritual issues? No, we have to respect our bosses, we were called to work as workers of God. But you know, what qualities do you most respect in people? Do you see, man, I want to be that guy's friend because he's got a great business there. And I want to be a great business man. And I think I should make friends with that person. Or, she just makes me laugh, man. We have such a great time. I just want to hang with her all the time. Jesus, man, we just have a great, great time. You know, cool looking. I like that guy. He just drinks his fine. I dress like him. I'm going to go hang with him. You know, these were my list, okay? When we did the team discuss, this was my list in reverse order of things that I value in friendship, okay? I look for and have guided me in choosing my friends, alright? And some of those I've just shared with you. Number five, I would say intelligence. I value someone who has some intelligence that I can lean from, wisdom from. I want to learn. You know, I value someone who just seems bright. And there's loads of different kinds of intelligence. Academic, I'm not just talking about academic. Spiritual, social intelligence, family, you know, all sorts of things. Number four was that they were cool. That's down in my list. Seriously, when I pick friends or think about friends, I want someone in some ways that's quite cool. It's quite with it. I like that. I like sort of being in touch with contemporary issues. I'm being real. That's in me. I like people who, you know, I love the things know stuff about latest this and that and whatever. I haven't got a clue, and I love being in touch with that. I just like a contemporary life. I don't know. I just like that. Number three was a great laugh. Absolutely. Well, you sit there when I said that, all straight up, you're like, oh, that's what I'm like. Just like a great laugh, my mate. Absolutely. You've got to have a good time. I mean, we shouldn't be dour, somber, you know. Yeah, you know, what we just do is get together and read the Bible together. And then we just talk about serious issues.
Yeah.
And then they tell me off the night. Man, this is not life, man. We've got to have a good time.
Amen.
We've got to have a good laugh, man.
Yeah.
Number two. Honesty and openness. And this is something I think about marriage, I value someone telling me the truth.
Yeah.
I value someone being vulnerable with me about weakness in their life. I just need that. Me and Joe, that's the number one thing in his focus for life. Honesty and openness. Even if you're messing up royally, if you're having a stinky time spiritually, things have got, can you talk about it? Are you okay? And number one was spiritual. You know, someone is spiritual. Absolutely, that's my number one. I'd say, you know, I don't want to build a great friendship with someone. They've got all those other things, but that number one thing's not there.
Yeah.
Because then we're all apart, my God.
Yeah.
You know, or even number two, they're not open, they're great laugh. They're actually going to build and share that in mind. It's not a real thing. So that's for me. I don't know about you guys.
Sure.
But, I call you to check your priorities. One of these on their own, if you look up, if you just say, I'm not my friends about who they are, that's a bit silly. All my friends about meeting intelligent people, being business acumen. It's a bit silly. But we have many together. What do you need for our life? Second point, number two, dependent Joash. Let me click on there. Great. Oh, I've gone back. Okay. Now for over-dependent Joash, let's turn to 2 Chronicles 24. Are you with me so far?
Yeah.
So that's a bit about independence. Not in a good sense of a child grows up and learns how to physically feel as though there's lots of independent spirit from friends from each other and from God. Now Joash was dependent not on God. When I'm talking about own dependence, it's not bad to be own dependent on God. I'm talking about man here. Now Joash lived in his first birth was a miracle. He's basically born in a bloody revolution going on in his country. He's the only male member of his family to survive. His grandmother finally tried to kill his whole family. And basically his aunt, Josheba, hid him in a closet for 6 years. That's how he did. He became king at seven.
Yeah.
And immediately had the council of Jehoiada, the chief priest. And we're going to look at this. 2 Chronicles 24, verse 1. Joash was 7 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 40 years. His mother's name was Zibiah, she was from Beersheba. Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the years of Jehoiada the priest. Jehoiada chose to write to him, and he had sons and daughters. You know, Jehoiada was an incredible priest. You know, a lot of you around him chose to write. You know, the guy said, I think you should marry this guy. And I only have 16 years and no babies, which is two wives, great, you know, good kids, good advice. And they work closely together. In verse 6, if you read on down, it says, King summons him, and he comes to him ready. You know, he's an obedient priest of the king, knows his order. Then they start repairing the temple, they start doing great works. And reading on in verse 12, 2 Chronicles 24, the king and Jehoiada gave it to the members, and they made a check, and they took money from the voluntarily people started giving money to his chest to rebuild the temple. This was their conviction. And verse 12, King Jehoiada gave it to the men who carried out the work required for the temple of the Lord. Then they worked together. They hired masons and carpenters. They hired masons and carpenters to restore the Lord's temple. And also worked with the iron bonds to repair the temple. Verse 13, the men in charge of the work were diligent, and the affairs progressed under them. They rebuilt the temple of God according to its original design and reinforced it. When they finished, they brought the rest of the money to the king and Jehoiada, again working together. And with it were made articles for the Lord's temple, articles for the service and the burnt offering, and also dishes and other objects of gold and silver. As long as Jehoiada lived, burnt offerings were presented continually in the temple of the Lord. So, can we stand up?
Me?
Yep.
Oh.
Now, this is Totes. You want to know
Totes?
You want to know Totes? Totes was a leader in the church. Now, Totes is a man of conviction. Toast is a man of faith. Toast has an incredible family of disciples. Okay? This man is a future elder in our church. But you know what? He doesn't want you to follow him. He doesn't want you to follow him.
Yeah.
Who do you want him to follow, Toast?
Jesus.
Jesus. Amen. He talks about him before
you.
Remy, can you stand up, please? Now, Remy has incredible testimony. I don't know part of it. Remy has incredible testimony. He has an incredible marriage. He's leading the marriage ministry in a dynamic way.
Amen.
He's a future elder.
Come on.
But Remy doesn't want you to follow him. Remy, who do you want to follow?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ. Now, Phil's not in there. Please stand up. It's Phil's not here. Now, what did I write about the ones who fell around us? Well, again, these guys, I can share all day. Hard working family. Trust me. Vulnerable and open in their sharing all the time. From an incredible family of disciples. Their tree in Manchester and all over the place, and the riverside, stretches as far and wide. Future elders. But Louise doesn't want you to follow her. Who does she want you to follow?
Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Give her a clap. Now, I know my point is very obvious and clear, but guys, look, at first I'm going to make a point. Myself and John, we just entered the leadership group, and these guys have been doing a sterling job. Trust me, it's not easy. It's not easy. I get more texts and emails a day than just asking for things about making decisions. It's hard work, man. It's hard work, and you've got to go to the ball, you've got to go to the game. And these guys have been doing it a long time. And guys, we lift you up. You know, we lift you up, we say thanks. You know, we have great leaders in our church, and we pray that ourselves and the seed can emulate their leadership as we join them. But they don't want us to follow them like Joash followed Jehoiada. Now it's fantastic to have advice and spiritual men. It's fantastic for Joash to have that advice. He was 7 years old, of course he needed it. Of course, and to be over-dependent on that age, to be totally dependent on another, absolutely acceptable. absolutely, children, you know, dependent on their parents. But once you get to an age, there's got to be an age where the reliance is not, okay, if they're doing it, I'll do it. The call is to yourself.
Reach it.
You know, teenage years need to start on that interdependent line. I'll share more about interdependence in my third point. Not independent. I'm not going to listen to you, I'm independent. But no longer dependent. Oh, because my dad said, my mom just, you know, I believe to follow them. What if they leave the Lord? You know, what if they disappear? I'll share two spiritual guys I listen to a lot, looked up to. I got to know quite recently. One is John Lee, he's a church in Singapore, Southeast Asia. We got to spend some time, they lived in our house for a while, two summers ago. Then we went through Singapore to Australia, and we stopped for a fairly spent some time. And then in Chicago, the recent family conference, we got to hang out there. Now, and I asked him about some advice about some personal issues. And I was just worried. Because the guy was, you know, a lot of experience. And I was like, fantastic. Got some great deep advice right back to Joe. This is great, this is what John says, you know, John Lee. Another brother, he's in the Birmingham Church, Andy Fleming. Okay, he's been around as well, getting the leadership as well, having us there, some others. I asked him about the same, but let me ask him, you know, the spiritual guys who've been doing it around the world, you know, the church, the ministries, doing things that. He gave me some advice, exactly the opposite of advice from the I mean, not just like, just exactly the opposite. Like, I got a yes and a no. And I was paralyzed. Because in my mind, in my heart, I was over dependent on man. I was just going to do what John said. Or I was going to do what Andy said. Because I thought these guys had a little more experience, so there's thousands in Russia, and the president of the church is in Russia, incredible, you know. And yet, you know, when the fact is different, I was struggling. And then when I had to go, I was like, man, I'm so easy to like that. Now, my analogy, come on, let's get sugar up here. Right, Alan Sugar, businessman, what I thought. Government advisor, I mean, we're not the government advisor. Gordon Brown trying to be a bit like Obama, shit about Obama a bit. And preacher, now put that there. Say Alan Sugar became a disciple tomorrow. Right? And ask you to raise him up quick, because the guy has got business skills, he's got the leadership, he's got the your higher dignity, all that. And he used that and turned it all for God's glory. All his structure, experience, all that stuff. He said, you know what? I'm going to put the same skill set directly to it. How will this all feel? I mean, it'd be dripping up there. There'd be people just be packed out on the back. People like, I'm sure he's preaching. Absolutely packed. People coming, you know, and many, I'm sure, would come to the Lord. I'm sure many. And then he pulls away. I mean, he goes back. Nah. I'm getting back into money. I want to talk to him again. You know, all that stuff. I want to do all that. How many would be? I could begin. But what about you? You're here before the sugar revolution. What about you? How much of your faith would leave with him when he left the room? When he left the church? You know, how dependent are you on man? On whose boots are here? We're not people of eloquence. We would just try, you know, pray a lot about it. I have many things to pray when I preach. I try and deliver it. We're all just, you know, carrying along with the Holy Spirit trying to lead us. But how dependent are you on man? Because I've known leaders leave in the past, and people leave because of that. And it's a real point we've got to think about.
Rachel.
You know, our faith has to be on Jesus. We've got to find the set.
Absolutely.
We've got to follow Jesus. We've got to look at the cross. Not an individual like Joe Esther. And if you're visiting today, you can't even, I don't even want to just hear our words or whatever said, and go away and just do it. In Acts 17:7, the Berean, the noble, the one who had to check it himself. If you don't have a Bible, get one. If you have a Bible, check it out yourself. You know, and accept that message. They accept it even though they checked it out. You know, we ask you to do that. For young people, just a little side note for the team, but you've God's claim to faith is your own. Now, if it's a Jewish group and a Christian oil, how can someone in this kind of environment do something, you know, easy when it comes to wickedness after Jehovah died? You know, he never established his own rule of God. It's so easy for you to hang on to the coattails of your parents, or my coattails, or Marvin, or Joe, or Nevis, or another, you know, anyone else who's preaching, which lasts for a while. But what happens when you're on your own? What happens when you go to college? Because the biggest trouble in senior disciples, the younger disciples, is when you meet from.
Yeah.
You go to university, and you know what, every church, you know, any denomination, there's this lost seed to get lost.
Yes.
Well, thanks to all the community. Faith is gone. You know, you got to think about that. What happens when you begin it, you understand that faith, seeking for your faith? Is your faith strong enough to sustain you? You know, seeking God, repenting, being baptized, which is what we call for, what the Bible calls for, is about being a man and not a child. I've shared this with you guys a lot about there is no such thing as seen in the Bible. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, when I was a boy, I thought like a boy. Now I'm a man, I think like a man. You know, and coming to God is about stepping up, growing up, you know, taking some responsibility. And then third point, interdependence. Okay, Josiah. You know what? If you're struggling for Main Street Child, I like that one. I like that one. Maybe you can tell that I like that one. 2 Chronicles 34. Are you with me so far?
Yeah.
It kind of puts some bad blood on some people's desires and inspires a little bit. And leaves. Sometimes I do the good guy first, but I'll do the good guy last. Okay, 2 Chronicles 34, reading from verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. So, like, a lot more mature than Josh by 1 year. And he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. In the 8 year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. In his 12th year, he began to serve Judah and Jerusalem at high places, Asherah poles, carved idols, and cast images. On his direction, the altars of the Baal were torn down. He cut to pieces the incense altars that were above them, and smashed the Asherah poles, the idols, and the images. These he broke to pieces and scattered over the graves of those who sacrificed. He burned the bones of the priests on their altars, and so he purged Jerusalem, Judah and Jerusalem. In the towns of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, as far as Naphtali, and in the ruins around them, he tore down the altars and the Asherah poles, and crossed the isles of Power, and cut to pieces all the incense altars throughout Israel. Then he went back to Jerusalem. In the 18th year of Josiah's reign, to purify the land and the temple, he sent Shaphan, son of Azariah, and Messiah, the ruler of the city, with Joah, son of Joas, the recorder, to repair the temple of the Lord, his God. They went to Hilkiah, the high priest, and gave him the money that had been brought into the temple of God. He sent Levites and the doorkeepers to collect from the people of Manasseh and the entire remnant of Israel, all the people of Judah and Benjamin, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So here's another king. I mean, absolutely taken to people. He was, at 16, he started seeking God.
Good age.
Good age. King at 8. My sports baby catching up with you now. I had a loud halo this year, but I still shout. He's king at 8. He starts seeking God at 16. Good age. 20. 12 years when he starts purging, healing, and sin. You know, are we waiting for 20? Are we waiting for 25? Are we waiting for 30? What are we doing to sin in our lives? You know, how's it going? How's your marriage? Just want us to stop looking at that. How are you dealing with your life? The things in your life? Because he just desires to take it to task. He digs up his priest followers, he's grinding down his power. He's like, oh, he's sitting today, but these guys are just. He sacrificed the children. I mean, crazy. You know, how do you get humanity in your sense? You know, you wait, oh, I'll wait until this, I'll wait till that to deal with this. Don't want to raise this with that person now because, you know, are we dealing with sin? And 26, he gets many people around him. And he says the whole time he's consulting and getting advice. And have a look in verse 14. to verse 22. While they were bringing out the money that had been taken to the temple of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord that had been given them through Moses. Hilkiah said to Shaphan, and he shall come again. Great right hand man to desire. I found the book of the Lord at the temple of the Lord. The book of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, gave it to Shaphan. And Shaphan took the book to the king and reported to him, your officials are doing everything that you committed to them. They have paid out the money that was at the temple of the Lord and entrusted it to the supervisors and workers. Then Shaphan the secretary reported it to his own king. Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. He just sent the teamwork. He sent it back. I got it, I'm bringing it to you. This is what's going on. Shaphan read from the presence of the king. When the king heard the word of the Lord, he tore his robe. He gave his order to Hilkiah, Ahikam, son of and Shaphan. So Shaphan's son's involved as well. Shaphan's like the secretary. He's got his son involved. And Abdon, son of Micah, Shaphan the secretary, and Isaiah, the king's attendant. He's got a king's attendant before you ever read that. Go and inquire the Lord for me and the remnant of Israel and Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that is poured out on us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written in this book. The cry goes, the king accepted it. When he speaks to the prophet, Hoba, who is the wife of Shalom, the son of Tokan, the son of Gaza, people of the water, she lived in Jerusalem in the second district. You just sense an incredible King Spirit. He's like, you do this. Like, this is the opposite of me being independent. He's like, let's do this together, let's work together, let's get this up, you know. And this is what I call interdependence. Now, this is the definition of interdependence, okay? Interdependence is the dynamic of being mutually and physically responsible to and sharing a common set of principles with others. Mutually dependent. Mutuality, a reciprocal relation between interdependent entities. Objects, we're not talking about objects here, we're talking about individuals or groups. Now, how can we break that down? How can we put that into common day language? Well, you know, what's our thing to be here? Loving God with your heart, soul, body, mind, strength, and loving your neighbours yourself. You know, if you love your neighbours yourself, you've been interdependent. There's no doubt in my mind. If you are treating others as you want to be treated, you are acting in an interdependent way. If you're treating others, I can really appreciate Kevin's communion openly about. It's so often, even in my house, I might make a cup of tea for a visitor, and I might go, well, that's my favourite cup, and that's a nice cup. Even you know, I kind of want that cup, and I'm going to make a tea my cup, and that cup, and I'm going to give it, you know, or whatever. Or like, it could be anything, you know. I'll be honest, when we have drinking out here, I've been drinking out the football, I'll give you my cheapest cordial out there.
No.
I've got right beer in the cupboard and I've got this other black currant stuff I kind of bought for that kind of thing. But you know what, I'm just being honest, you might be right, it's just, you know. But
oh,
for me,
it'd be a rush.
You know what I mean? That's the point. These are maybe silly examples. That's what the Holy Spirit tells me. I don't know what it tells you. But these are just examples about it. I appreciate it. Can't be said. Oftentimes, you just don't give that best.
Yes.
You know, and I appreciate that. I appreciate what he's saying. I'm totally lost because I've got consumed by Viva there.
Right,
Viva. Right, Viva. Right, Viva. Right, Viva. Right, Viva. Right, Viva. Right, Viva. Right, Viva. But there's so many people around him. He's got recorders going on, recording details. He's got the ruler of the city involved. He's got future Akam, Shaphan's guy, son, Sir Future King. He's got this prophetess involved. He's got a king's attendant. You know, it's said that Jeremiah composed laments for Josiah. It's Matthew 1 verse 10, Josiah in the lineage of Christ. Zephaniah prophesied. Zephaniah 1 verse 10, prophesied during Josiah's reign. Incredible people around him. Incredible. Incredible people. Not like Joyce and Seven, like, you know what, this guy, you know, I'll follow you. Let's work together. Let's have this interdependence going on. And you know, it's incredible thing. I think the Holy Spirit works a lot of it. Where I think the Holy Spirit is primarily a relational relationship you have with God through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, the majority of the time, I would say, prompts us guarding the relationship. Follow this guy. This person's not well. How is that guy doing? Did you apologize yet to that person? And you know, the Holy Spirit, the purpose of it is just this mutual thing that we've got going. You know, did I offend you? What did you ask the person? That's troubling you. You know, is that prompt? And You know, I want to share about the team ministry. Got a couple of examples. This is Adrian Hill on the left. Oh, the photos look a bit negative there. Anyway, with the bow tie, that's Adrian. He leads our team ministry around London. And he's doing an incredible job with this kind of new charity drive on this interdependence. We meet up every month. We talk about mainly team camp, but loads of other stuff. How we do it, how we build it, how's your sector going. And there's an incredible prayer for each other. There's an incredible source of inspiration. On the right is, there's Alex on the left, and Ben. On the right is Alex and Rashida. They help lead the teams in the East. Fantastic leaders. On the right there is Caroline and Paul, who lead the teams in the Riverside. And there's in the background, that's Fumi. Her and Barney lead the teams in the Northwest. This was an Oscar ceremony they did. Fantastic event. I remember we shared about it. But I just want to share with you, these are some of these guys. On the left, that's Peter and Joyce. They lead the teams with Charles and Pat up in the north. Just all doing incredible jobs. I mean, really, and as an incredible as you. You know, you go to these team meetings, these guys are reaching out to your team. Adrian's done an incredible job. And then I'm embarrassed her now because there's Ben and Titi also lead the team from the east, doing a great job. And then on the right is Roger and Rosemary, Stephen down in South. And you know, we just, there's a great friendship, isn't there?
Amen.
It's just great. You get there and you share and you talk, and there's this incredible teamwork going on. And we see the teams grow. There's baptisms happening around the place. There's an energy. There's a stand being set. There's a radicalness, and it's phenomenal, it's phenomenal. I just want to share this page, to you guys. And I want to lift these guys up to you. See them, they serve fellowship. These are encouraging and inspiring people. Now, my last little analogy. Obama. Now, just a bit of fun, but I want to just end with this. Obama, okay, what a guy. First black president, overcame the odds, that whole election victory. I mean, just a mountain, the other case. A mountain. I mean, we're just like, okay, these are his advisors. He ain't no one man island, let me tell you. These are his advisors during the campaign. Okay, we've got Chris Hughes. This guy's a program on Facebook. I don't know what a billionaire. 25 years old, he got him on board straight away. Won the internet battle. There were more blogs and more stuff going on this election than ever before. So he was on his campaign team. Warren Buffett, US investor, businessman, and philanthropist. Very like Donald Trump, the apprentice in America is based on. Very like that guy, but a bit more quiet, and got him on board. Got his money on board, got his advice on board. Oprah Winfrey, funny to say about her, legend, American royalty. You know, like Michael Jackson's royalty, this lady's royalty. I mean, got on board straight away, speaking up at one of the first speeches, saying, I endorse this man.
Yeah.
I endorse this man. This guy, I'm with him. And back then, there was no certainty. There was no, he was a long shot. You remember? Okay. Caroline Kennedy, the only surviving child of JFK, and Ted Kennedy, JFK's younger brother, and in the US Senate, on board. The Kennedy family, you can't even talk about words, that's like beyond words.
Yeah.
You think of JFK? Obama gets him involved, advice seeking, advising, helping, endorsing it. John Lewis, civil rights campaigner, friend of Martin Luther King, formerly with McGill. When he was here and we were battling it out, this guy was with Philip. Came over to Obama. He said, I need your help, I need your advice on this. Sort it, endorsed Obama, helped him out. Get this one. Maria Shriver.
Absolutely.
Part of the Kennedy family as well. And married to Arnie. She's married to Arnie. What party is Arnie with?
Republican.
He's a Republican. She comes out and says, Obama's my man. A little love. She's like, you know what? He's winning wives of Republican senators over. She's the first lady of California. Colin Powell, former Secretary of State under W. Comes over and says, you know what? I'm going to vote. I'm going to count another Republican. You know, crossing doesn't matter. Race doesn't matter. Parties to Obama doesn't matter. You know, who you are, where you are, let's build, let's work, let's get a team, let's get synergy. Jimmy Carter, former US president, legend, very well respected guy. Al Gore, former presidential candidate, got probably, you know, jipped by W with that election stuff, I'm not going to comment, but. And make an Oscar winning environmental thing as film, an inconvenient truth. If you haven't seen that film, you need to see that film. That'll be recycling, that will get you recycling for starters. On board, environmental stuff, on board. Lastly, just to give the team reminder, now, David Geffen and Jeffrey Katzenberg. When you see DreamWorks SKG, right, SKG is the biggest media company, I mean, I'm just going to tell you all about it. They are just enormous. They rule Hollywood. S stands for Spielberg.
Yeah.
K stands for Katzenberg. G stands for Geffen. There you've got Geffen at the top with Michael Jackson, Madonna back in the 80s. He's a bit bolder now, but anyway, I thought we'd put Michael up there just as a nice memory. And then we've got Katzenberg down the bottom with Will Smith and his son. These guys are legends in the media. Stuff you listen to, stuff you watch, these guys are just like controlling it. You know, they're just pulling the strings in Hollywood. Obama gets these guys on board. Now, what's my point?
Come on,
bro. He's also called the audacity of folks. I would name it the audacity of his circle of friends. He fools around with people, and he's close with these guys. And he loves, this is like a song. There were guys I didn't know, we don't know, he's way up on the scene, spotted here when he was a lawyer. But these are guys who are interested to us, just understand his circle. Yeah, now he's going to be massively became president. What is doing? You've got to have him. Yeah. What do you have to do? You've got to do. You can find him. I'm a spiritual. I'm going to help you move forward with God. I'll get close. I'll be a real friendship. You know, if you don't have them, let's talk about it. Get healthy with each other. Let's share. I think that's the last part.
Amen.
In conclusion, this is really I wanted us to have a relationship check-up today. And check our relationships. How are they? You know, how are you dealing with your friendship? But the world says, generally be independent by my own. You can do it on your own. Be strong. You don't need anybody. You know, the truth is, we need people more than we know.
Absolutely.
And we need qualities of spirituality in our friends. Are those qualities high on your list? Are you dependent? Are you over dependent on people? Are you just inspired by others to lead you? You know what? You know, would you come to church if someone didn't know you? If someone didn't pick you up? Would you come on your own? Where are your convictions? Ultimately, we need to work as a church in an interdependent way, working together like Josiah seeking God, dealing with sin, committed to real, honest friendship and mutual advancement. God does not want us to be independent of Him, nor of man. God does not also want us to be dependent on man. He wants us to have a mutual reliance. Thanks for listening. Amen.